lift your cup up to him this morning.
Yes.
And may he fill it. So that is our prayer this morning. God bless you. It's good to be with you. How many enjoyed the song service?
Amen.
It was beautiful.
Yes.
Beautiful song service. You know what? One thing that makes it so beautiful is the presence of the Lord, how he comes down and just soaks up the praise and the worship.
Yes.
And so just when the proceeds, they've worked hard this morning, so we'll have sit back and rest. Amen. It's good to be with you. First, I just want to say thank you for your prayers. Sometimes things come along and just really knock you off the road for a few minutes. And so that's what happened to me, but I appreciate everyone's prayers. And I do feel, I feel back on track now, so I appreciate that. God knows, and he's so faithful to his word and to his word to answer prayers and so forth. So we appreciate all those things. Happy Father's Day to each one who are fathers, and perhaps those of you, if the Lord tarries, that will be fathers. We'll just go ahead and send it your way too, and these young people. Amen. So it's good to be with you. We'll go ahead and open the Bible. We're going to begin reading in Malachi chapter 3. I have about four different places I want to read this morning, so we get through that real quick so you can be seated. Malachi chapter 3, verse 16 through 18, and then we'll read chapter 4 of Malachi. Malachi chapter 3, verse 16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And the book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in the day when I make up my jewels. And I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Chapter 4, verse 1. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven. And all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble, and they shall, and the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves in the stall. And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. And remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded him unto him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. He shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. When we go to Romans chapter 8, she'll have these up here so we can move through them quickly if you just want to look up here. These are scriptures we're familiar with. Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. In the Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 through 7. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. And then one more passage of scriptures, 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 through 3. You're doing good. You know, Brother Branham tells us that we can read the scriptures, we can close the Bible and leave, and we are blessed people. Amen? So we are. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Let's just bow our heads and our hearts. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the grace, the mercy, and the liberty that is here today. Lord, we know that you love your people. We experience it. We feel it. And Lord, we're just so thankful that your presence is here to cause us to be the kind of people that we can be, that only through you, only through your grace, that we can be. And we love you, Lord, and we just ask, God, that you would just have your way this morning, that you would speak to every heart, both young and old. And Lord, that you just get glory to yourself, that you would open up our understanding. Help us, Lord, to be able to speak, hear, receive everything that you have for us today. We love you, Lord. We commit this time now, these moments into your hands, and we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. We'll title this today, Do You Know Your Father? Since it is Father's Day. Do you know your Father? Amen. I guess before I get started, I just want to say, you know, that everything in this world that this world has instituted is there to take away your understanding of godly things. And everything that God, every way that God has established is the right way that this whole world is, Satan has got into it and moved it in such a way to make it to where you can't receive and you can't see and you can't hear it the way that God wants you to. And so, it's by the preaching of the word and by the revelation that God can elevate us up above the restrictions that we have in this world. And so may the Lord do that this morning. We read there in 1 John chapter 3, and especially in verse 2, but it tells us, says, now we are the sons of God.
That's right.
Not just in the future. Now we are the sons of God. But he says, but it does not yet appear what we shall be. As I've said so many times about the son who's working for his father in the field, and the scripture says in Galatians there that he's no different than a servant, though he be Lord of all, though he's heir of all things, and he's going to own the whole plantation, or whatever you want to call it, the whole farm. I don't like the word plantation because it has a bad thing from history to it. So we'll say farm. But though he has all that, but when you look out there in the field, there's a time where that child, that servant, that son who is a servant is no different than a servant because he's serving his father. But you look out there and you can't tell him any different than anybody else. Yeah. As far as, you know, because you would think, well, here's all the servants, they're out there in the heat of the day, and here's the son, he's sitting in the shade drinking ice water and telling him what to do. But the scripture doesn't paint that picture. The scripture paints the picture that son is out there in that heat, bearing the heat of the day, just like a servant. And he's no different. And you have to realize that it must be that way.
Yeah.
It must be. That's why I like when somebody comes in and they start out. We used to have a man that was one of our VPs of our company before we were bought out. He started out as the mailer in the mailroom, and he worked his way up, all the way up until he became CEO of the company or whatever position it was he had. And I like that. And so it must be, because I've said so many times, you know, for my guys, I've done their work, and I know what it's like for them to be out there. And so I'm not going to come out there and not have a feeling for what I'm going to ask them to do and what it means to do that. Right. And so it's important that this son be no different than a servant, to be out there in that field working hard so that when he becomes the boss man, he'll understand what this whole thing consists of and what it takes to get done what needs to be done.
Yeah.
And so when the scripture says here that it doth not yet appear, we are sons of God. And I'll say you sisters, because you're sons too, in your own thing. You're sons of God, even though you're sisters, okay? Because in Christ there's neither male nor female, right? You come to your adoption in your own self, just like a man into adoption, in God's adoption. And so we're no different. And it has to be that way. It has to be that we walk this earth in flesh and suffer the things that we suffer, just like Jesus had to do it. It must be that we have to go that way before we can rule and reign. We have to suffer.
That's
right. Says the scriptures. And so it doesn't yet appear, but the scripture says that we know that when he appears, we'll know him, because we shall be like him.
Right.
So you realize that there's an unfolding coming, and at that hour when he begins to appear, we're going to recognize him. We're going to know what he is and know him for what he is because of a change that has happened to us.
Yeah.
Right.
Because we're being made into the same thing he is.
Yeah.
And so when he comes and he begins to appear, how could we be rejected when we are the same as him?
Right.
Yeah.
Follow me?
Right.
So there's a thing taking place here, like we read, as I'll mention it here in just a moment. I'll spare them. So you see that there's this concept that we are being made into this image of him and being brought into the same thing that he is. And so the scripture says that when he appears, we'll know him because we shall be like him. And it goes on, we read there, it said that every man that has this hope in him purifieth himself. So once you understand what we're talking about here and you move into this understanding, the revelation of it, then that in itself has a purifying effect in your own walk with God, that it will do a purification process in you because he's pure. Because you realize that if the Spirit of Jesus Christ has come into us, it will move us in the direction to make us just like him. And if he's pure, then that Spirit that comes in us must move us and make us pure also. And so if he's a manifested Son of God, then that Spirit has to move into us and make us manifested sons of God.
Right.
So that when that time comes, we will see him, we will understand it, we will know him. Whatever form he's in, we will understand that because we're going to be in that same form.
Right.
We already are blessed enough under the message, outside of all the rest of the world, church world, we're already blessed to know that we are the Word because he's the Word. Just already know that beyond them, right? And so the word and the whole entire message is blessing us and moving us in a direction where we will be just like him, and he's not going to come by and we're missing it, okay? Because we're going to recognize him for what he is. We read there in Galatians, it said that, and because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father.
Yeah.
And I've said it so many times, you've probably heard it elsewhere too. Didn't say that when he sent that Spirit into your heart, that it made you a son. But it says, because you are a son. God has, and so what I want you to understand, that because you're a son, there's no way he can pass over you. He has to be, because there's a special relationship there between Father and Son. He cannot pass over you. He has, if you're a son of God, he has to put that Spirit of that Son in you to make you what he wants you to be and bring you into that image, to be conformed to the image of his Son. He has to send that to you. And so it says, because you are. Then he sends that to us, and when that Spirit comes into us, it begins to reveal to us who we are. That it begins to cry out and say to him, Abba, Father, Father, Father. That's what that means, Father. Amen. And so we begin to cry out to him. And we read there in Romans that it said, we have not received the spirit of fear or of bondage again to fear.
Yeah.
that as we as believers, because the law had bondage, the law was restricted, the world has rules and bondage and everything out there, you're a slave to somebody if out there in that way. But God's not making you a slave. God's not making you a servant so much. God's making you sons. So we've not receiving a spirit of bondage or of fear. That's not what God is sending us. But he is sending us a spirit to bring us to adoption. Yeah. He's sending us a spirit that will cause us to recognize that we are sons of God, so that in us we begin to cry out, "My Father, my Father."
Right.
Amen? Amen? And so we can see, obviously, this is at the end time, comes at the end time, where the sons of God are coming to adoption. Remember, Brother Evan said there on Mount Transfiguration, Jesus and all the things that happened there, that that was a prefigure of what was going to happen to the sons of God at the end? So we read there in Malachi chapter 3, chapter 4. God says that it's in the day that he makes up his jewels. And you realize when a man's going to make up jewels, that's a deliberate act. Because, you know, stones and gold and silver and all those things, we all been through this, it has to be purified.
Right.
And so there's a specific place in time where God says, "I'm going to purify my jewels. That which is valuable to me, that which is precious to me, I'm going to purify it, and that comes by fire." Fire is what is used to purify those things. So that whole thing there in Malachi chapter 3 at the end of it, and chapter 4 that we read, he's talking about this day where he's going to make up his jewels. And he says, it is those who speak often one to another. Apparently, the whole world doesn't do that. But there are a group of people that he's speaking of that they that feared the Lord spake often one to another.
Right.
You know, there's not enough fear of the Lord in the land anymore.
Right. Yeah.
There's not enough fear in a lot of people, even in message churches. There's not enough fear of the Lord. And, you know, it probably wouldn't hurt. I say this not to, you know, just honestly and sincerely. It probably wouldn't hurt if there wasn't some Ananias and Sapphira's thing going on to get people's attention. Realize that God is still a holy God. And every transgression, every sin has to be met, has to be dealt with.
Right.
And he has a way of dealing with it. And so we know that. But there's this specific time in his program where he's going to make up his jewels. And it's a time that burns as an oven. That's purified by fire. And so it says that in this same scripture is saying that it's in the day where he's going to spare them who speak often one to another. He's going to spare them as a man would spare his son who serveth him. And we know, I don't know if the children understand this, but I know fathers do, that an obedient son is a son that has the father's heart, for sure. They all do because they're sons, but an obedient son is very precious to the father. And apparently in the scriptures here, he's talking about this. And he says, in that day when I'm going to make up my jewels and everything's going to be burnt over and all the proud and all the wicked, they're going to be stubble under your feet, that in that day I'm going to do a work where I spare my sons, my people, as a man would spare a son who serves him. So apparently, a son who is serving the father, and you can't serve your father by being out doing things contrary to father's will.
Right.
You follow me?
Right.
So it's speaking of a unity there and an obedience of a son to his father, that the father can bless him if he's obedient to the will of the father, but if he's not, he can't. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's so interesting to say this today, to see young people and kids, little babies especially, but even teenagers, you know, and they do something they know they shouldn't do, and then when they get in trouble, they have the audacity to have a strange look on their face, like, "Why? What are you doing? What's going on?" You know, I always said to my oldest daughter, whenever she was little and she'd get in trouble, she'd say, "Don't get me in trouble," and I'm like, "I didn't get you in trouble. You're getting you in trouble." But she would say that, "Don't get me in trouble. you got yourself in trouble, you know. Kids are funny, you know, but they do things, but we have grown-ups that live the way they do, and then they're astonished when things don't go, or when God can't bless what they're doing.
Right.
And we realize that. So there's a great thing there between a father and an obedient son. And so the scripture's saying that in this day that's burning as an oven, that he's going to make up his jewels. You realize that when jewels are purified, they're saved, you know. They're spared because they are purified. So he's going to purify his sons in a day as an oven. And it's going to be sons that serve him and obey him. And so he said there that it would be in the day when the Son of Righteousness would rise with healing in his wings. So apparently we're talking about a time where God would have to come and do something to bring healing. Bring healing, they said, bring healing in his wings. And I've mentioned this before, but Brother Branham, in the sermon, what is the attraction on the mountain? I mean, he's heard that. What is the attraction on the mountain? Brother Branham is quoting this, and he purposely quotes it. He says that the Son of Righteousness will arise with healing campaigns. And then he goes on to say healing in his wings. But he threw that in there so you might know that in the hour that we're in, that the Son of Righteousness has risen, that we are moving into the day of the oven, because it's incorporated here with the coming of Elijah.
Right.
That we're moving into that day, and that it's not Malachi 3, not John the Baptist, because after this happens, then the world is ashes and we walk out on the ashes of the wicked. So he says, healing campaigns, that we might recognize that in this day and the ministry that has come, that the Son of Righteousness has risen with healing in his wings, so we know what hour we're living in. We're in the hour where the sons are coming to adoption. Amen. And so, but before a son can come to adoption, before a son can become fully obedient to his father and so forth, he must know who his father is. Amen. And I'll say this, before a father can really fully express fatherhood, he has to have children. He can't even be a father, really. So you understand, God had the attributes of being father, but it didn't actually come into play until he had sons. Had a son, and we are many sons. So it requires sons to fully unleash everything, every attribute that God has and wants to express, has a desire to express, a longing to express. It requires that son coming into being before the father can do that. And not only that, there's a certain portion of being a father that cannot be expressed until that son recognizes and knows who his father is and knows everything that goes with that relationship.
Yeah.
Because what the father wants to do is to pour out all the wisdom and all the things that into that child, so that child can go forth in life blessed. And so the father can't fully express himself unless the son comes into being and must have children. And so you realize we're not just creatures of his creation. He created angels, he created the animals, all the different creatures on the earth, but he does not call them sons.
Right.
He does not call angels sons. That's a pet peeve I have with this modern people that want to think that the angels are sons of God. The scripture plainly says they're not.
Right.
But he doesn't call horses and cows and beautiful birds or anything. He doesn't call them sons. They are creatures of his creation. But for some reason, we are creatures of his creation, but for some reason, he calls us sons of God.
Yeah.
And so you realize that puts us in a different category than all the rest. Now, we realize in our flesh, we're no different than animal.
Right?
Right? But it's the life that God puts in us that makes us different than the animals, and that's why we don't want to live like the animals.
Yeah.
We have a moral obligation that they don't have.
Yep.
Because God permits them certain things, but he doesn't us. Right? We're a different people. And so what I'm getting at here is that when we are sons of God, we're more than just a creation. We're sons. And we're sons right now.
Right.
Even though it does not yet appear. We're sons right now. And once we really understand that, then we can be like Brother Ram said about the slave who'd been brought over from over in Africa, and he was here, and he always conducted himself very well, like the rest of the slaves. But he always conducted himself much better than they did. And the slave buyer wanted to buy him, and the man who owned him said, I'm not selling him. Well, what's different about him? You know, do you feed him better? Do you, treat him better? No, he's just like all the other servants. Mm-hmm. Well, why does he act different? He said, well, because he knows that back in his homeland, his father is king of a tribe. And because of that, he conducts himself like the son of a king.
Right.
Even though he's not in his homeland. And so you realize that we are here on this earth, not in our homeland. We're here on this earth, but once we recognize who our Father is and that he is the creator of all things, then it ought to have an effect on how we conduct ourselves while we're here.
Yeah.
In this planet, in earth. And so we're not just creatures, we're sons of God. And so the difference that is there is that when it's a son of God, then it speaks of a passing of genetics. There's a genetic tie. There is traits. There's family traits that are passed on.
Right.
See, when you talk about a son and a father, or a father and a son, there's a hidden connection there. And the world don't want you to understand what a true relationship between a father and son should be, like it does for between mother and daughter and the whole family, right? But there's a hidden power there between the relationship between a son, a father, and a son that is there. And I believe that in order for sons to come to adoption, to be fully obedient and to be pleasing to the Father, they have to first understand that God is their Father. And then they have to understand what that means, what that special relationship, that we're more than just creatures. We're sons. And that somehow that passed from him into us is a genetic that it ties us to him, that makes us part of the family of God, and brings characteristics into us like what he has. We should be expecting these things in our life. If we are sons and daughters of God today in this end time, we should be looking for attributes to well up in us that matches our Heavenly Father. We should be looking for that.
Right.
And so, a father has attributes, as I said a while ago, and those attributes can only be expressed when the son comes. A father has, to me, one of the greatest desires as a father has with his son is to see that son established. And when I say established, I don't mean making millions of dollars. I mean established in the things that matter. In life, that means to establish in the ways of God, that he too can be a good expression of God. And so, but before that all can happen, the son has to recognize that God is his Father, or that he is his Father. And then when that happens, he has to fully understand the relationship that holds and what that means. This is why the Spirit of His Son comes into us, and when it comes in, it begins to change us. It begins to cause us to cry out. Why? Because it's beginning to reveal to us who our Father is. And it's beginning to move us in the direction with those characteristics of what our Father is. And so that's why the Spirit comes into us and begins to make us cry, Abba, Father. You know, in the natural, when we have children in the natural, we rejoice when our children look like us, mm-hmm. talk like us, act like us. We love that, do we not?
Right. Yeah.
We even, you know, looking at other families, and I said to my wife, that woman sure looked like her mama, right? But we actually rejoice in that. We expect that. When you have children, I can look at my granddaughter back there. Sometimes I see her dad. Sometimes I see her mom, mm-hmm. right? And we rejoice in that. Because why? Because that's, they are offspring. It's when they come along and they don't look like anybody in the family that you go, what's going on here, you know? Brother Bam talked about that. That even you can say, well, this child has red hair. He said, you go back there, you'll find that somebody had red hair or whatever. So it's, but you understand, we rejoice. And we even look for it. I was, my Rachel's fiance, Dustin, met him, you know, way back when or whatever. Well, yesterday I met his dad. And it was hilarious. Because I can see right where Dustin's, some of his ways of moving and talking and the way he does things. And I'm like, well, there it is. His dad does the same thing. And so we expect that. In the natural, we expect those things. That's normal. Yeah, he walks, he acts. And so you realize, you know, I don't know, but, you know, I think everything that a person goes through, especially a minister, everything they go through life is empowers them to be able to speak on the things that they experience. And so you all, most of you know that I only met my dad a few years ago. And it was, you know, I watched the people come in and do a double take. Whenever they'd walk in the room, the first time they would see me, they'd do this number. And it's because of how much we looked alike, especially when he was younger, was a younger man. You know, I was a spitting image of him in many ways. And so you're like, no question there. You know, this is your dad. This is your son. Mm-hmm. He told me when he first saw a picture of me, he said, I thought I was looking at myself. Mm-hmm. That's what he told me. And so, you know, well, we expect that. Right? We expect that to be the case. But, you know, Brother Evan talked about how the science progresses. You know, the horse and buggy and automobile and astronaut. Well, science has progressed to that even if they don't look a whole lot alike, there's a genetic test that can prove it. Right. So if that's the case scientifically, then in spiritual sense, there's a spiritual test that can be done that shows who you belong to.
Right.
Amen? And so we expect those things and we look for that. And so, you know, for me, and I know that, and I hope this doesn't come across the wrong way, but for those of you who've always known your dad, you don't know what it's like. I'm in a different position, mm-hmm. right? Because I didn't know him all these years. And so, but it allowed me to look and see things in a certain way that perhaps somebody that knew their dad their whole life might not. And so when I look at that, I can see and I can marvel that having never seen him and been influenced by him at all, that we had the same desires, the same foods that we like, and we even planted the same types of things in the garden. And as we met and we talked, it was just one thing after another, one thing after another that was like, well, I should have known. That I'm like I am, because now I see what he was. I see he was, and there's probably some parts of my life that I still need to fulfill in that way or whatever. But you know, he was a reasonable man. He was a successful businessman. I'm not a successful businessman, but he was a successful businessman for all those years. And when I would listen to him make decisions, and I'm like, yes, he's balanced, he tries to be, and so when I look at that, then I know what I should be seeing in my life, right? When I look and see one of his brothers, you know, was like, I don't know about this or not, but he was kind of standoffish, but when we went outside and stood for a while, and then his brother, Freddie, he just opened right up to me after that. And he said something a little later. He said, I got to watching Tony. And he said he stands the same way that his dad does, puts his hands in his, you know, folds his arms the same way, puts his hands in the pocket, stands. And when Freddie saw that, he let down his guard because he realized, Yep, this is his son. And so you expect that, right? We expect that in the natural. We even look for those things, and we rejoice in those things because, see, brothers and sisters, you even see it. There'll be documentaries about it. Where when somebody finds their family, and it means so much to them to know where they come from.
Yeah.
And that's what we say, you know, you the Bible will tell you where you come from, why you're here, and where you're going. Mm-hmm. You can't really have confidence in where you're going if you don't know where you come from.
Right.
Or even what you're here for. But once you recognize who you are, mm-hmm. what your gene is, who your father is, that's why I titled it, Do You Know Your Father? Once you know that and you understand who your father is, then it makes sense. It makes sense of why you're here and what's going on. And so now you know where you belong. You know the genetic path of where you're going and where you belong.
Right.
Right? You understand that. You know what your name is. You know what your bloodline is. Amen. And you know what belongs to you as that.
Amen.
Right? There's a life behind a name. So we understand all those things in the natural. And so you can understand and say, well, I understand why I'm the way I am. Amen?
Amen.
I understand why I am the way I am.
Yeah.
And I can even look for certain traits. And you can look for certain traits once you know. But once you know who your father is, and once you enter into this, then you can... As I said, you can look for those things, but you can begin to draw from this entire relationship that you have from your Heavenly Father.
Yeah.
Because there's a connection between Him and you, and there's certain attributes that He will express to you that He can't express to anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And it's there. And once you catch the revelation of that relationship and of that blessing of everything that can come from your Father to you, you have to get a revelation of the fact that you are His son. And then once you realize what's going on there, then you can move into that reciprocation of all that a father has to give to his son and all that blessing and wisdom and so forth. You can enter in, and it will begin to make you into a person like your father.
Mm-hmm.
If he's a good man, he'll influence you to be a good man.
Yeah.
And so... So you can look for those things, and you realize that that's how it is, and that's the way it is in a spiritual sense.
Mm-hmm.
In a spiritual sense, you could stand up in this day and realize, now I know why I am the way I am spiritually. Brother Bram talked about this in the last sermon he preached. You realize that you aren't like the rest of the world, where other kids, they could do things that wouldn't bother them, but it would bother you. And he said, at some point I finally realized I'm not just the son of Charles and Ella Branham, but I'm a son of God.
Yeah.
And once you connect into that, then you can start drawing from the relationship, knowing of what that consists of, that if God is your Father and He has poured a spirit into your heart to reveal that to you and begin to make you cry out, Abba, Father, that it's beginning to move you in the direction, then you can position yourself under that spout of that blessing and let that mold you and make you into the fullness of what a obedient son would be.
Yeah.
Once you know who your father is.
Right.
Amen. And so, it's that way on a spiritual sense, for sure, that you know that father will never leave you. That even in your disobedience, He's still your father and you're still His son.
Yeah.
And He will bless you when you position yourself to where He can.
Right.
But He can't bless you if you position yourself where He can.
Right.
But no matter what, once you catch that and understand that and position yourself, then you'll be blessed. We are familiar with the story of the prodigal son. That he was able to return back to his father. And he came back repentant. And the scripture said he was out there and he came to himself. And then when he came to himself, then he began to recognize who his father was. Right? He knew who his father was, but begin to recognize, in my father's house, in my father's kingdom, there's all kinds of servants, and they have better than this. And he began to realize, I have sinned against God and against heaven and against my father. And he began to come to his right thinking. And when you come to your right thinking, then you come into the recognition of your father's kingdom and that it's right.
Right.
And the best place for you to be is in your father's kingdom.
Amen.
And he came back repented, willing to be just a servant. But that wasn't, that's not the relationship between father and son. No father is going to say when a son goes out and does all this crazy stuff, that if that son comes back with a repentant heart, no true father is going to try and say, okay, but I'm not going to treat you as a son anymore. You're going to be a servant over here. A real father would say, come right on back in, son. You're right back to your same position where you were, because that's the position he held always anyway. But he just couldn't be blessed in what he was doing. And you realize that that is our walk with God. God wants to bless you. You can't break that relationship. We are now the sons of God.
Right.
But that spirit has to move us in the direction that we are convinced and know beyond shadow of a doubt that God is my Father. And I can move myself through that anointing he's given me into that relationship. And he will bring me to full adoption.
Right.
No question about it. But you must recognize that and position yourself accordingly and become that obedient son in order for the Father to bless you.
Amen.
So when this whole arrangement happens, when this son realizes, then obviously the father is able to express full fatherhood and the son is becoming a fully manifested obedient son. When, as we said a while ago, when is this going to happen? It's happening in the days when Malachi 4 is coming to pass.
Right.
That's when it's happening. Malachi 4, when the Son of Righteousness is rising with healing campaigns, healing his wings. And it has to happen, obviously, when the true revelation of God comes forth. Not three gods and all that. Well, which one would be your father? But when the revelation comes, see, everything's bringing clarity to the believer. So that we can come underneath into that relationship. And it's at a time when Jesus is about to appear, because the scripture said that when he appears, we will know him because we will be like him.
Yeah.
Amen. Let's go look at the Lord's Prayer. She's got the scriptures there in Matthew chapter 6. Jesus is telling them to pray, you know, how to pray. They ask him how to pray. And what does he say right off the bat? Our Father. Not our God, not our Creator, not Jesus' Father, but our Father. Right off the bat. He's telling us how to pray. And we can't really pray correctly until we come into the place where we know that he's our Father.
Amen.
Amen? Our Father. Not just an earthly man, right? Not that. But our Father who dwells in heaven, and taking the message now, we realize that heaven consists of the Word. Our Father, which dwells in heaven, dwells in a higher realm than this realm, much greater than an earthly father, right? Look at the recognition he's saying there, where you're moving in and you're saying, my Father, which art in heaven. And I recognize your holiness.
Yes.
Holy is thy name. I recognize your holiness. Let's go to the next verse. I recognize that you have a kingdom coming. Thy kingdom come. And there is a will that God has, right? Thy will be done. Look, is the child saying, I want my will? No, he's recognizing the Father. Recognizing the kingdom, that he has a will, that he has a power, and that it's coming, and the child is in unity with that Father, saying, thy will be done, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. So the son knows where his prosperity, where everything comes from. that is from his father. You know that a child working in the field, you realize that he feeds at the father's table,
right,
just like the old servants. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. See the recognition there, that we have a moral obligation to our Father to be obedient to him, that he requires us to forgive those that have debted against us and so forth, just like if we want the same from him. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and glory forever. So you see the recognition of this in this whole prayer is the son coming to that place where he realizes who his father is.
Right.
And he's in a mindset of agreement, knowing that the blessing comes from Father. Amen. And so we see that. So there's three things there, that he recognizes the Father, he's in full recognition that he is a son, and he's in total agreement with the Father's will. Amen.
Amen.
And that's where we're at today. That's what God is doing, and we're in that hour. And this midtime message has come just to do exactly that, to move us in a direction where we can't have a different thought than our Father. You listen to people, I was talking to someone yesterday, and they're just, they have no clue about the realities of God's Word. It's all been so mixed up and messed up, and so many people have walked away from going to church because of what the church has done, or the way they've mixed things up, and the way they've done things, the way they treat people.
Mm-hmm.
That they look and they see that people are not acting like what Christians should be.
Yeah.
And that's not good. And so, but God has a people that's going to be just like him. Amen. And I trust and hope and pray and believe that we are a people that he's working on to move us in that direction where we will be like him. Amen. And it's something that he has to do. But we have to understand that he is our Father. We have to come to the place where we know. And I don't know how to explain it. But each one of us have to come to that spot where we're no longer in doubt.
Yeah.
That we're sons of God.
Yeah.
And your sisters too. And once you know that, you know he won't leave you.
Right.
He won't leave you alone. But you also know that if you're not obedient to him, then he can't bless that. And so you want to come into those obedience. And the more we go through life, the more we get trained by this message, we realize he's right. He's right.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even your preachers that are right. If we're preaching something right, it's only because we're preaching what he's said.
Right.
But they even said, Brother Branham, you're right, you're right. And he said, no, he's right.
That's right.
Because there's one word, the word that's right, God's word, and all other things are lies. Let every word of man be a lie. And so it is his word that is true. And we coming to know that and realize, I understand that Father's way is the right way.
Mm-hmm.
And we're coming to understand that in the areas of my life where I don't line up with Father's will, that's me short-circuiting what he wants to do in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And we're coming to realize that. And so, as I've said before, that you sow bad seed and you reap a bad crop and you're like, oh, I don't want to do that anymore because I don't like the reaping. Oh, it was fun to sow, maybe, you thought. But then when you come time to reap, you know, oh, it's fun to smoke a cigarette or to do this or to do that. But there's a price that comes later.
Yeah.
And many times for people, when that time comes, that reaping, it costs so much.
Mm-hmm.
Their life has changed forever. When it would have been so much easier if up front they would have listened to Father's will to begin with.
Yeah.
And so we don't want to sow things because of, and we learn to sow good seed.
Mm-hmm.
We learn to walk in Father's will. We learn to conduct ourselves like he wants us to, even though we're right now it doesn't appear we're anything different than in the rest of the world or any other servant out there, right? But we have to realize that by revelation, though we're here in this world, we have a Father. And because of that, he lives in me.
Amen.
And because of that, I'm going to walk pleasing to Him. And at some point, you come to a place in your life where the Father begins to put authority in you. And now you're beginning to be able, you're elevated above the rest of the servants. You're being elevated into what you were predestinated by Gene to be all along. Then you're being lifted up into that. And then in that hour, everything else is underneath you. And God is the one that controls that. We don't change that. We never come to a place where we can say, I'm tired of this. I'm just going to speak the word or whatever. Try it. It don't work. But there is a time coming. And God controls it. And the thing that we need to have our minds focused on is letting that spirit that's in us crying, Abba Father, move us. And let that crying out and that relationship move us into that obedience of it. Amen. That's such a wonderful thing to understand. When we talk about Father's Day, I think we should honor our earthly dads, but we have a heavenly Father. And that's really the one that we want to honor today. And the best way that we can honor Him is to walk into obedience of His will. That will make Him smile more than anything else. Because when you do that, He knows that His character is being formed in you, and He knows that you're being established, and your going forth will not be hindered. Amen? That's what He wants. And I appreciate a Heavenly Father that does that for us and has sent a wonderful message to us to move us, mold us, and make us. And you may say, well, Brother Tony, I've made so many mistakes. It makes no difference. The revelation that He is your Father trumps the whole thing.
Right.
To know that all you got to do is just come, whatever you've done, come right back in. Can you imagine? I mean, the story of the prodigal son. You think about that. First of all, he didn't have nothing to do with pigs. But he had his portion of inheritance. And instead of waiting till the time that the father would give that to him, he demanded it. And so the father let him go. Because why? Because God is not going to move against your free moral agency. And you could demand things. I'm going to tell you what. If one of these young people here, if they got it in their heart that they wanted to be a famous rock star, if they held that long enough, it would happen. You understand what I'm saying? Because the scripture says He'll give you the desire of your heart. And if you want the wrong thing long enough, you'll get it. And if you ignore enough things that you know better, then at some point, He's going to let you pull the trigger on something that you can't reverse. See, they say an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure, right? It's better up front. Could you imagine that prodigal son out there that totally contrary to the whole entire culture of everything and the blessing the dad wanted, he demanded to step outside of that, take his father's blessings, and let me take this inheritance that you've given me. Let me take the ability that you've given me to live and be a good, prosperous person with a good name, carrying the family. Let me take that and go devour it with riotous living. Let me take this body that you gave me. Let me go lay with harlots instead of preaching the gospel with it. You see what I'm saying? Let me take that and go burn that up. Right? But if you're a child of God and you do that, you're still a child of God. He will draw you back. But in what condition will you come back in?
Yeah.
When you do. Amen? So we all have fallen short over time, right? But the whole revelation helps us to understand that He is our Father. And all we have to do is just step right into that reciprocation of that blessing and know that we're His children. Mm-hmm. And that He will perform in us that which He promised to do. And surely we can recognize we're in the hour where God is making up His jewels, and He's doing it with His end time message. It won't be found anywhere else. It won't be found outside of His word. It'll be found out and be found inside the movement of His word, because His word was what's doing it.
Right.
So may the Lord richly bless you. We'll let the musicians come. Amen. Happy Father's Day to every father. So now you know how you should treat your children, and children, you know how you should treat your father. But don't forget your Heavenly Father. It's all, that's where it really lays there. Amen. Let's just bow our hearts together for a moment. Lord, we thank you for your time to be with your people today. And they've said and listened so attentively. I pray, Lord, that if there's anything that they didn't understand, Lord, that through your great Holy Spirit, you would just settle it all in their hearts. Lord, that it would challenge them and would encourage them, Lord, just to walk that much closer to you and enter into that reciprocation of that relationship with you as being their Father. And Lord, that you would just confirm that blessing to them. Lord, they could go forth in the strength that maybe perhaps hasn't been in their life thus far. Lord, that you just anoint them to be greater servants of a son as a servant, Lord, until the time comes that you would adopt us, Lord. We realize we're in the hour when these things are going on. You're giving us this word, and we just pray, Lord, that you would continue to move in the way that you have. Bless each one. We love you, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand. We'll let you out a little bit early today.